Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now. But something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
We all have stories. Stories about ourselves, stories about other people, stories about the way things are. And the funny thing about being human is that we believe ourselves 100% of the time. You can believe whatever you want about yourself, and no one can stop you. Have you noticed that there are some people who seem to believe wonderful things about themselves? They believe they're beautiful, intelligent, talented, and destined for success. And amazingly, they'll go out there and get everything they want because they believe their story. I think that's such a powerful lesson. So what stories are you telling yourself and believing about you? Well, I'd like to share with you three short stories that are an amalgamation of some of the ADHD clients that I've worked with over time. And I might even throw in a little bit of my own story so you can see the power of the stories we tell ourselves, and even more powerful when we decide to change them, taking our ADHD into account. I'd first like to tell you about Linda. When I first started working with Linda, she was in her early 60s. And diagnosed with ADHD. This came as a real surprise to Linda because for years she had been taking antidepressant and anti-anxiety medication, and she thought, those are my struggles and always will be. But she moved and found a different doctor who uncovered the real truth about Linda. She had ADHD, and she'd had it all along. Now, I would love to tell you her story had a happy and simple ending. She got a new doctor, she changed her medication, she discovered that she really had ADHD, and now that she was properly treated, she lived happily ever after. Well, Linda is living happily ever after, but the story didn't change just that quick and just that easy. Because first, we needed to unpack her baggage, her old story, the story that she had been telling herself ever since she was a young girl. And I'll just say, Linda's story was, I'm too stupid. She often used the word stupid in our coaching sessions, and I would just kind of cringe because she truly believed it. When I asked Linda what her evidence was that she was stupid, she had plenty. She would tell me about all the times that she would do poorly on a test in school, that she wasn't able to focus carefully enough on a conversation in a social setting, would miss the point, and then would say something that was sort of out of order, highlighting the fact that she wasn't keeping up with the conversation. She actually lost a job once in early adulthood because her boss would tell her what was expected of her, and she hadn't yet learned the skill of writing things down so that she could remember them. Over time, so Linda's I'm so stupid story had an entire network in her brain devoted to maintaining those thoughts. They came effortlessly. In fact, if she forgot to pay a bill on time, she immediately thought, it's because I'm stupid. Or if her husband introduced her to someone and the next time they got together, she couldn't remember the person's name, you guessed it, it was because she was stupid. Well, fortunately, Linda was really enthusiastic about the idea of changing her story and changing her life, although she really didn't think it was possible in the beginning. What I showed her is that your thoughts create your reality. What's actually happening doesn't matter. For example, a lot of people forget names. I do it every single day. But instead of that being proof that I'm stupid, I just thought, I'm not good at remembering names, so I can either learn some memory hacks and practice them, or I can just adopt a habit of saying to the person, you know, I'm really not very good at remembering names. Would you remind me of yours again? I'd like to try to remember it this time. And I have found that that goes really well. So I shared those things with Linda. And over time, she began to challenge her automatic thoughts. when something would happen and her brain would serve up the, well, that's because you're stupid thought that it was so used to doing, Linda began to understand that she could challenge her thoughts. She could say, no, that might not be true. What else might be going on? In fact, one of the first things I taught Linda was whenever you find yourself thinking, well, this is happening because I'm stupid, or just even calling herself stupid automatically, she learned to ask, that might be true, but what else could it mean? And she would have to come up with three other ideas. Okay, it could mean that I'm stupid, but what else could it mean? Well, it could mean that I just happen to forget because I have a lot on my mind. It could mean I wasn't paying attention because I was thinking about something even more important. It could mean I didn't get a good night's sleep last night, so my brain is not operating at full peak efficiency. Do you notice how thinking those thoughts instead of the automatic I'm so stupid thought could help Linda feel better? Well, I'm happy to say it did. So over time, Linda began to change her story about herself. Now, I'll tell you that even now, she doesn't think that she is a rocket scientist. And in fact, she's not, and neither am I. But the automatic thought, you're stupid, is not firing up in her brain all the time the way it used to. It still does once in a while, mainly when she's under a lot of stress or hasn't been getting enough rest. The rest of the time, she's able to think better thoughts, and as a result of that, is now pushing herself to do things she never would have done while she was still thinking she was stupid, like applying for a job as a docent at the local museum. She had always wanted to do it, never thought she could because she simply didn't think she was smart enough. I love this story because it proved to Linda and reminded me that you can change your story whenever you want. And when you do, it has the power to change your life. Let me tell you about another client whose name is Amy. Now, Amy knew that she was very, very creative and had special talent for poetry, but she never wanted to share her work with others because she really didn't think it was good enough. So Amy's story was, I'm not enough. Amy learned to think of herself that way in childhood because she had a really critical mother, and her mother would often tell her, you didn't do that right, do it again, or why do you keep making mistakes? And Amy hadn't had her ADHD diagnosed. She had no idea. And it certainly didn't help that she had a critical mother hovering over her, making her feel more self-conscious. So Amy's thought that I'm not enough just repeated in her head over and over and over. And it held her back in so many ways. She wouldn't go after the jobs she really wanted. She wouldn't go after the guys she really wanted to date. She really kind of shrunk back and settled down and accepted so much less for herself than she truly wanted, including writing her poetry. She told me that when she was a young girl, she had dreams that she would be a published poet, and she would dream that she would be doing poetry readings in bookstores all over the country and selling copies of her books of poetry. But she never let herself go beyond the dreaming about it stage because of her persistent thoughts that she's not enough. And when you're thinking you're not enough, this applies to any of you, it's awfully hard to put yourself out there in front of other people and risk them thinking the same. But Amy did desire to change her story and change her life in the process. So she began to challenge her thoughts, and she began to share her poetry ever so gently at first. She would share some of her poetry with me and be very open to my feedback. And she began over time to start sharing it with friends and family and being willing to believe that she was enough, that her poetry was a reflection of her. And even if she never became a famous poet, that was okay too. She was enough to become a poet and to call herself a poet. She wouldn't even have allowed that before. She's another good example of how you can change your story and change your life simply by deciding to think, I am enough, and focusing on what she's good at. The last client I want to tell you about is Julie. Now, Julie's problem was she had a very rough childhood, and she would be punished for not taking care of everything that her mother and stepfather asked her to do on her own. She was never allowed to ask for help, and help was never offered. So Julie had a limiting belief that people can't be trusted. And because she believed this so strongly, and because she continued to struggle with undiagnosed ADHD, she continued to do things that she didn't do well, and she never got better at them. She couldn't understand why. She thought that she was just a failure. She thought that she was a loser. And because of those thoughts, she would never even think of asking someone to help her, or even to help her figure out why she kept making the same mistakes over and over. All of us have very, very, very powerful stories. If you have been dealing with the symptoms of undiagnosed ADHD throughout your life until recently, you've got a lot of stories about yourself. You might have a story that you're stupid. You might have a story that you're not enough, like my client Amy. You might have a story like Julie, that it's not okay to ask for help. And this is in spite of the fact of their outward success. I've worked with physicians, attorneys, college professors, banking executives, and successful entrepreneurs. But underneath their outward success were a lot of stories about how limited, deficient, and ultimately unsatisfied with themselves they were. I think this is a fantastic place to go with what I think of as a self-compassion meditation. This is something I'd like to invite you to consider doing. Now, meditation isn't nearly as complicated as people think. And a lot of folks with ADHD think, there's no way I can meditate, because they think meditation means sitting still and making your mind go blank. Well, fortunately, that's not true. Meditation is not making your mind go blank. You actually don't even have to sit down. Some people prefer to do their meditation as a walking meditation. So if that feels better for you, I invite you to do that. Whether you'd like to sit on a chair, couch, cushion, or the side of your bed, or you would like to walk outside, or even on a treadmill, if you wish. The purpose of a self-compassion meditation is to begin to loosen those old stories, those limiting beliefs that you have believed about yourself for so long, and to begin to see them as just stories, not truth, and not something that you need to continue to believe about yourself. I'd like to invite you to think about all the stories that you have about yourself as simply a collection of thoughts, some of which may have been true at one point, but no longer are. And I'm willing to bet that many of them were never true. You just got used to thinking them, and you can stop whenever you want. Instead, you can think, I am enough. I am whole and complete. I am exactly as I'm supposed to be. I'm intelligent enough to reach my goals. I can do whatever I put my mind to. I am lovable. I am loved. Any of these phrases that come to mind, or if they don't come to mind naturally, just borrow mine. Just practice thinking those thoughts on purpose. Chances are they're not already circulating in your mind, and they're not already on an autopilot default setting, but you can install those thoughts whenever you want. Those will take a little practice, and they'll feel a little bit awkward or uncomfortable at first. The only reason is because you're not used to thinking them. Once you've done this on a regular basis, and I would suggest that you try to do a brief self-compassion meditation for a few minutes every day. In the morning would be ideal. You could just start your day with a few deep breaths and choose to think on purpose, I am enough, I am loved, I am doing my best every day. Just practice thinking it. In time, those thoughts will have their own neural pathway. They will show up automatically, and you will begin to believe that they are true and live accordingly.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.